to Wicked Within. This week we're doing another paranormal case, and I think you'll be able to figure out like where I was at when I wrote this.
Okay.
Because we're doing haunted Las Vegas.
Oh, yes.
So in November, Natalie went to Vegas with Keisha, who's one of our friends who listens to the podcast. Hi, Keisha.
Hi, Keisha.
And I was very sad, and I was missing her because we didn't record that week. But I was writing this episode that week, and so I was like, oh, well, I'll just do an episode on Haunted Las Vegas. So that is what we are going to do.
I'm very intrigued, because I don't hear a lot about, like, spooky stuff in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of true crime, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Tons of true crime.
But spooky stuff?
No, it wasn't necessarily, like, it's not the first place that comes to mind, which is kind of funny, because, like, you know, I do think that one of the reasons that I don't necessarily think of it in comparison to other places is because even though Vegas is, like, a huge city now, it popped up, like, really quickly, all things considered. I mean, that's true of, like, a lot of places, but it seems even more accurate for Vegas than for other places. So even though it's a huge city, it still feels pretty young.
I definitely think so. Only, like, 70, like, I think the 50s is when it really, like,
started booming. Yeah.
So, in the last 70 years, tons of people migrated to Vegas.
Yes.
Tons. And they're still in constant development over there.
Yeah.
Constant. My in-laws have a house there, and they're constantly talking about, like, their friends who are moving there, or, like, some coworkers that I had moved over there, and I was like, why is everyone going to Vegas?
Yeah. Well, that's good, because if there's anything I know about Vegas, it's that the water table can definitely handle all of those people moving there. I'm joking. Yeah. I don't know why we, like, insist upon...
It is a literal desert.
Yeah. I think it's so funny, the way in which we've chosen to, like, set up our cities. We're like, so Phoenix, Arizona, desert, Vegas, desert. I mean, there are a lot of other places where you're like, fair enough, like, you can't necessarily avoid the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis and stuff like that. You have to have port towns and everything like that. But some of them, like, Portland is surrounded by volcanoes.
Yeah.
So when the tectonic plates shift enough, Portland is going to be dealing with earthquakes, floods, and freaking volcanoes.
Molten lava. Molten
lava. Spewing all over the place and hot ash clouds.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what we're thinking. But anyway, that is a tangent.
Maybe. Okay. Very tangent.
Sure.
Maybe Portland will be spared with their snow of ash and just fall into the ocean with the rest of the West Coast.
With the rest of the, yeah, exactly. That's certainly something that I'm looking forward to.
So maybe Vegas will be in the new West Coast.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting to find out. But I won't find out because I will be dead.
Yes.
If there's anything ideally I know about the big one. So we're all gonna die. Anyway. On that note, let's get into Vegas.
Also, just before we get into it, I'm already picturing like showgirl ghosts with their like giant little feathery things like haunting someone in a casino.
That's really funny. I don't have any stories of showgirl ghosts, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. So let's dive in. So Las Vegas is one of the most famous tourist destinations in the United States. Vegas is and was home to members of the Paiute tribe of Native Americans before Rafael Rivera, a young Spaniard, scouted the area in 1821.
Those Spanish.
I know. He named the area Las Vegas, which means the meadows, which is not at all how I think of it today. I assume it must have looked a lot different back then before the development and the
surge in the population.
Yeah, and the global warming and all of it. Climate change. All right. Las Vegas soon became part of a trade route known as the Old Spanish Trail that spanned the area between New Mexico to California. While some Europeans settled in Vegas when it was just a little outpost on this trading route, the population didn't really start to explode until Vegas was officially made in The population didn't really start to explode until Vegas was officially made a city in 1911. Today, people visit Las Vegas for the nightlife, gambling, entertainment, and much more. But few people visiting Vegas today know that it has quite a few well-known hauntings that can still be visited. Ooh. I know, so you'll have to remember that for your next trip to Vegas, which will still probably not be with me because I am a party pooper. So, our first location isn't actually in Vegas, but it is very near to Vegas, and it is the Hoover Dam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The construction of the Hoover Dam was a time-consuming and very detail-oriented project. Hoover Dam was in construction from 1931 to 1936 and is responsible for creating the United States' largest reservoir, Lake Mead. Since we have a few different places we're going to cover in this episode, I'm only going to cover a brief history of the dam. I would recommend listening to Josh and Chuck's Stuff You Should Know episode on the Hoover Dam because it's very good. It's a two-episode story, and it's just called How the Hoover Dam Works, Parts 1 and 2. So, as I mentioned before, the construction of Hoover Dam was a huge undertaking, and it took years to complete the project. When it was finally completed, Hoover Dam was holding back the impressive waters of the Colorado River, and it had created the largest reservoir in the United States. At the time, it was also the tallest dam in the world. The dam generates hydroelectricity for large areas of Nevada, Arizona, and California. Thousands of people worked on the construction of the dam over the years, and at least 112 of those people died during the construction. Still more died of illness. Usually these deaths were attributed to pneumonia. However, there was no outbreak of pneumonia amongst the workers or nearby townspeople at any point during the construction of the dam.
Interesting.
Indeed. Some workers believe that although these deaths were attributed to a simple case of pneumonia, many of these people actually died as a result of carbon monoxide and other noxious fumes. And they blamed pneumonia, leaders blamed pneumonia to avoid lawsuits from the victims' families.
Oh, okay.
Which, there's nothing to prove that, so this is just alleged, but doesn't really seem off-brand.
Yeah.
So, I will say that. Some say that some of the workers, some people say that some workers were buried alive as the concrete was poured.
Oh my god!
And that their bodies are still encased in the dam today. However, I can assure you that this just isn't the case.
Okay.
There's no evidence to suggest that anyone was ever buried alive or dead in the concrete walls of the dam. And in fact, the construction companies would have gone out of their way to avoid this kind of accident. Not necessarily out of any sort of human decency, although that may have been part of it.
Yeah.
But simply due to the logistics of it all, and here's why. When a person's body is covered by concrete, eventually their remains will decompose over the course of time. When this happens, the concrete that encased their bodies will begin to settle into the hole where their body used to be. Eventually, this settling concrete will lead to dents, cracks, or even cave-ins, which is not something you want to see happen in a concrete structure holding back the entire Colorado River. So, no, there are no bodies in Hoover Dam, but it doesn't make the deaths attributed to the dam's construction any less sad or tragic.
I definitely thought bodies in concrete would be more of like a Han Solo situation.
Where they just stay, like, in carbonite. And, their bodies are just...
Yep. That's what I thought it would be.
Like, one day could come out and just be kind of sweaty. I don't know what he's covered in.
I thought it would be more, like, mummified. Like fossilized?
Right. Yeah.
Guess not. But also, there was that one Grey's Anatomy episode where they got encased in... If you watch Grey's Anatomy, you probably know the episode I'm talking about. But there was, I think, a couple... No, it was a kid. A guy who, like, as a dare or something, like, got... stuck in some concrete, got sent to the hospital, and like the concrete toxins was all up in his body and bleh, almost died. But definitely would not have thought his body would have like decomposed in the concrete.
Yeah.
Definitely thought it was going to be like a Han Solo or like a fossil kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, and in a manner of speaking, they would have been fossilized, but even with fossils, what's left are, like, bones and impressions, not, like,
a whole-ass
body. You're thinking of mummified, probably. But even then, your body is going to wither a little bit. You're just not going to take up the same space that you would as a live person or even a freshly dead person. So
but also, like, don't bodies, when they... Tangent. When they decompose, can't bodies give off gases that cause bloating? What am I thinking of?
They can, but again, that's going to go away eventually. And usually you would have to, I think, I don't, listen to me. I'm not, like, I'm not an expert, but I'd like to talk like I am, like I know everything. I would assume that that would happen under specific circumstances. So, like, I definitely know that that has happened in cases where there's, like, a lot of heat or when there's a body in water.
Okay.
You would be Vegas looking. Vegas
has heat, but it's also a desert, so it can get very, very, very cold.
Right, and the concrete would probably be cold.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So you're probably not as likely to bloat in that situation. And again, still, eventually your body is going to decompose. Because the Hoover Dam has been there since 1936. Mm-hmm. So we would know at this point because there would be, like I said, dense cracks, probably cave-ins. Like, you see the flaws in where that would happen.
I just imagine, like, a really bad, like murder movie or something where the body's, like, decomposing and giving off gases and then a piece of concrete explodes because science.
Right. But, yeah. That seems like, I can't even think where that would happen, but yeah, a really bad true like crime.
CSI or something.
Yeah. They're like, this could happen. Yeah. Nah.
No. But fact of the matter is, no bodies.
There are no bodies in the Hoover Dam. I just want to make that clear. Unfortunately, Hoover Dam is still the site of tragedy today. Up to 4 people per year choose to take their lives at Hoover Dam. As we face a life-altering drought in the western United States and the waters of Lake Mead have begun to recede, the shoreline becomes wider and wider, and we are uncovering parts of our forgotten history. St. Thomas is a Mormon settlement that was abandoned in 1938 when Lake Mead finally overtook the town, forcing any remaining residents to flee. Parts of St. Thomas have risen to the surface again as the water levels at Lake Mead drop continuously over time. Additionally, the remains of a B-29 bomber that crashed in 1948 are now accessible to divers due to the lowered water levels. I'll tell you what, there are a few things that spook my pooper as much as underwater cities.
I was just gonna say that!
I hate that shit. Freaks me out.
Hate it.
Don't like it. Did you know that... There was, like, a little town where Applegate Lake used to be, or is. I don't know why I said it used to be, because the lake is still there, but the town is not.
But is there a town in the Applegate?
Yes.
I swam there! My body touched that water! What if there's...
I mean, no one died. Like, everybody knew that the water was coming, so, like, everybody was out first, but yeah. And I don't think there was much. I think that, like...
I just imagine, like the Titanic, like, when people actually go investigate the actual remains of the Titanic and the sound is, like, eerie, like, metal.
Nah.
That's what I imagine, like, if you go diving near a spook town underwater, it's just, like, eerie and, like, you hear, like, wood shifting in the water.
Definitely sharks. In a freshwater lake. You know there are freshwater sharks, though. Yes. Not here. I don't think.
It better not be. Yeah. I put my body in that water.
Yeah. Anyway, I know that, like, there...
Also, pool sharks.
That's true. Oh, my God. Pool sharks scare the poop out of me. Woof. Anyway. So, yes. I don't think that there's any, I wasn't able to find any sort of, like, hauntings around that settlement that's under Lake Mead now and starting to be exposed, but that almost freaks me out more than the ghosty stuff, so I thought it was worth mentioning. So, as a great segue, let's talk about the haunted stuff. The employees at Hoover Dam have reported missing tools and malfunctioning equipment all happening at around the same time. These strange events are thought to trace back to the spirits of the 112 people who died during the construction of the dam. Hoover Dam is also, unfortunately, a common suicide location, despite many efforts to create barriers to stop these attempts. Some visitors and employees at the dam report seeing apparitions of people jumping off the dam's bridge to their deaths below.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, that would also spook my pooper. On what I consider... Okay, so... This is hilarious. I think you'll enjoy this.
Okay.
On what I consider to be kind of a silly note, another paranormal concern for some people revolves around a projection of a goat that lit up the stone wall of the dam on May 8th, 2015.
What?
Okay, so Baphomet is the name of the idol of Satanism, or one of the idols in Satanism, who, by the way, likes to sport a goat's head.
Okay.
Between that and the rumors concerning Hoover Dam's ties to Satanism, apparently the destruction of Hoover Dam is a harbinger of the end times. Fun fact. Some people are very concerned about the villainy of the dam. But there's actually a pretty tame explanation for the goat projection. As it turns out, this was just a projection of Hens, I assume is how you say his name, the mascot of Cologne, Germany's football, aka soccer team. There's some lengthy, complicated reason why this particular mascot was selected to grace the wall of Hoover Dam, which is why some people are a bit disbelieving and tend to suspect satanic activity.
I thought you meant hen, like,
Hens. Yeah, no, it's spelled H-E-N-N-E-S.
Okay.
Hens. I don't know how else you would say it. Hennes.
Does that sound German enough for you?
Hennes. I don't know. I think you just say it more aggressively.
A little throatier.
If you're like me, and you think, well, what's the connection between goats and Satanism? Don't worry. I'm going to give you a bit of a mini deep dive into why goats and Satanism do mix. I found most of this information on a site called crosswalk.com, and the article took itself a bit more seriously than I had anticipated, but it probably means that we're getting a pretty accurate answer from Christians who are pretty invested in the whole goat/Satan thing. In Leviticus, the Jews gather two goats for Yom Kippur. One of these goats, the Aziel goat, would have the collective sins of the town or village placed upon it before it was sent out into the desert away from the town. So the Aziel goat represents Satan, or evil in this case. The only other obvious scripture relating to goats can be found in Matthew, in which goats are compared to sheep, with sheep obviously being the more desirable livestock in this particular case. There's a lot of symbolism around the stubbornness and self-reliance of a goat in comparison to the trust and devotion sheep will show to their shepherd.
Is that a thing? First of all, I just have to advocate for the goats a little bit. They are sweet.
I like goats.
Their eyes freak my deaky out. But they are sweet. I have befriended a goat before. He was a little bit of a head nudger, kind of like my dogs, honestly.
And
definitely
Coda.
Like Coda.
Yeah.
So goats are friendly and kind of cute. They also taste delicious.
Goats?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never eaten a goat before, and I probably never will, if at least not on purpose. So, additionally, goats are more destructive to their environment, which is a metaphor about going down a path of destruction. So here's the actual scripture where we can see this imagery. And this is from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you this foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. So,
is this about the rapture?
Unclear? I'll be honest, I don't know much about the rapture. Not, like, a huge thing for Western Methodists, which is really my only familiarity with church.
Okay.
So...
sounds kind of rapture-y, but it also kind of sounds like the majority of people who vocalize about the rapture would not meet the standards to be on the right side.
I don't know anything about any of that, I'll be honest. Matthew is typically not a super rapture-y book in the Bible. Most of that is Revelations. That's where they actually talk about the rapture, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Again, not a super common thing.
Where's Leviticus in all of this? That was just earlier.
That's Old Testament. Leviticus is the Old Testament.
Is Rapture Old Testament? I don't
no.
know. I
went no, to Revelations Catholic... is the very last book in the Bible.
I went to Catholic Bible school for like a year. I was a preteen. Can't expect me to soak any of that.
Well, I no. I'm not sure how big Rapture is for Catholics anyway.
Aren't she... I don't know. I don't know anything about livestock. Are they not as destructive?
No. Goats will eat all of your shit.
Yeah.
I don't think sheep will, and I also think that there's, like, a certain... I think that especially in, like, biblical times, there is a certain more, like, symbiotic relationship between people and sheep.
Okay.
Because sheep could provide both... Mm. Wool and meat, whereas goats are just going to come and fuck up your garden and then they will provide meat, as opposed to, you know, just being kind of cute. And I mean, and goats can be kind of silly, but I find that charming. I also don't have any who are messing with my garden, so I find it charming from a distance. So it's really easy. But anyway, so... as I had mentioned earlier, another main reason why goats are associated with Satanism has more to do with the negative associations with paganism and other, quote, old world religions, rather than any particularly, like, negative connotations that are actually found in scripture. As I say, there are only two scriptures that actually mention goats. So, one particularly famous goat that I had mentioned previously is Baphomet, which is the goat-headed entity we may sometimes see associated with Satanism. He may be portrayed as being, a being with the head of a goat and the body of a man and or woman, and may sometimes have a pentagram on his forehead, kind of like, you know, between his eyes. It seems that Baphomet was first mentioned during the Crusades, and the Knights Templar would later be accused of worshipping Baphomet. It's possible that Baphomet was actually just another name for the prophet Muhammad, but that's a bit unclear. Baphomet came up again during the Enlightenment, not as a symbol of Satanism, but rather the duality of life.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Finally, Aleister Crowley decided to adopt Baphomet as a symbol of the Church of Satan, which is why many people today have such negative connotations around Baphomet. Although I think most of us are able to successfully distinguish the difference between Baphomet and a real goat or even a school's mascot, there are some people who still find the connection there. So that is the Hoover Dam and a lot of information about Baphomet and goats and why goats are bad? I think.
Why goats equal Satan.
Yeah. Are you looking up a picture of Baphomet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a familiar...
Yeah, I definitely recognize, like, there's a particular statue that keeps coming up, but I definitely recognize seeing.
Yeah, the Church of Satan put a significant amount of money into making, like, an idol, like a large monument of Baphomet recently, so that's probably one that keeps popping up pretty regularly right now. Anyway, so that's that. And there's a whole other tangent I could go on about the Church of Satan, but I'm going to save that for another episode. So, the next place we're going to go to in Vegas is the Flamingo.
I was there.
Were you?
I was.
Did you see any ghosts? Okay. Well, we'll see.
Maybe I did.
Yeah. I don't know. So, part of the reason that you might not necessarily think of hauntings with Vegas, or because some of the hauntings, or a lot of them that I could find, have a lot to do with, like, mob stuff. And if I remember correctly, you and I are both kind of like, eh, mobs. Yeah. Exactly. Like, not super interested in covering, like, a lot of true crime cases around any sort of organized crime organizations, because that is just, I don't know, it's just not really of interest to either you or I.
I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, if I find something interesting enough, I'm going to go deep into it, but I never find anything interesting enough.
No.
It's just kind of like this, like you said, this organization, they had these, their hierarchy committed crime. Cool.
Right. I think my thing is that, like, I understand the rationale around organized crime, and so there's, like, no mystery there. There's yeah. no, there's, it's like,
it's all pretty straightforward.
Right, there's nothing to investigate. It's like, yeah, okay. I understand why people from, you know, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So I just don't feel the need to dive into it. So, this is one of the rare times we will be talking a little bit about mobs and organized crime. We are doing a very mini dive into Benjamin Bugsy Siegel. Siegel was a crime boss who operated in New York City before heading to Beverly Hills and eventually ending up in Las Vegas. He became involved in organized crime at a very young age and earned his nickname Bugsy for his tendency to bug out or go crazy.
I thought it had something to do with his eyeballs. Don't ask me why.
No, he didn't actually have particularly buggy eyeballs, like a pug or anything like that. But, no.
Steve Buscemi?
Yeah, Buscemi.
Is
yeah.
how I pictured it?
No. No, he had normal-looking eyes. It was more just that he was known for being unpredictable, gutsy, and violent. He operated as a mob boss, hitman, and eventually a responsible business owner, although this was just a front that allowed him to continue his gang activities. In 1945, he went into business with William R. Wilkinson, who was building a new hotel and casino known as the Flamingo. Eventually, Wilkinson was convinced, that I put convinced in quotes, to hand over full ownership of the Flamingo to Siegel, and the hotel was finally opened in December 1946.
I see what you mean by convinced.
Yeah, in quotes, yeah. The hotel cost a whopping $6 million in 1946 money to build and didn't get off to a booming start. Siegel's quote-unquote business associates became suspicious of the expense and underwhelming start to the business when the hotel first opened. Siegel was given another chance to turn things around, but even though the hotel had a grand and successful reopening in 1947, it was already too late for Bugsy Siegel. In 1947, Siegel was killed in the home of his then-girlfriend, Virginia Hill. He was shot through a window of her Beverly Hills home and was soon declared dead. He had been hit multiple times and died quickly. No one was ever charged in the murder of Bugsy Siegel, though there are many theories about his death ranging from a contract hit for overspending the syndicate's money to a preemptive hit before he could take out yet another mobster. Although he spent just a short time at the hotel, Siegel's ghost can reportedly still be seen in the presidential suite of the hotel. This suite features gold bathroom fixtures that were once used in his apartment. Siegel is also seen wandering the paths of the Flamingo's garden not too far from his memorial. Fortunately, this version of Siegel seems to be a bit more predictable and a lot less violent than his more lively counterpart. Although his apparition may spook an unsuspecting guest, he doesn't seem to be up to anything particularly nefarious. So, we have yet another hotel and casino. Bally's Hotel and Casino sits on the infamous Las Vegas Strip. The land where Bally's now sits has been host to several different hotels since the 1960s. originally starting with the Three Coins Motel in 1963, before becoming the Bonanza Hotel and Casino in 1967. In 1973, the hotel changed hands once again, this time taking on the name MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. At the time, the MGM Grand was the largest hotel in the world with over 2,000 guest rooms. That is actually that's a lot of rooms. Mm-hmm. It cost $106 million to build, which is a lot, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In case you didn't know. Considering its prime location, opulent rooms, and very impressive on-site amenities, including two large theaters in the hotel, it's not surprising that the MGM Grand was one of the most successful hotels on the Vegas Strip. It saw a number of famous visitors, including Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and a future president, Ronald Reagan. But despite its success, the MGM Grand would suffer a horrific tragedy just 7 years after its grand opening that would leave its mark on the building and the entire city of Las Vegas. I do want to just go into this real fast. So there's still an MGM Grand on the Strip. It moved. Oh, okay. So Bally's is still there.
Yeah.
This is where MGM Grand used to be.
So the MGM Grand turned into Bally's?
Yes. So the MGM Grand moved down the Strip.
Yeah.
And when it moved down the Strip, this particular site where the MGM Grand used to be became Bally's.
Okay.
I understand that that's a little bit confusing, but I wanted to clarify before I got too much further. So, on November 21st, 1980, a fire started in the MGM Grand restaurant. At this point in the early 1980s, hotels and other buildings didn't have strict guidelines regarding fire safety and emergency exit procedures in the case of an emergency, although many hotels and other heavily utilized buildings had either implemented or were in the process of implementing strong emergency procedures. Unfortunately, the MGM Grand wasn't one of these buildings. The hotel kitchen didn't have a working sprinkler system. Whoops! And the hotel was missing a fire alarm system to alert guests of impending danger.
Oh, no.
In the 80s. I'm like, yeah, in the 1940s, sure. But in the 80s?
I would even think, like, the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
But the 80s, you should know better.
Right, I know. At some point when they're, like, you know, trying to defend themselves later, they're like, but we didn't have to. And the people who were, like, listening to it were like, yeah, but look at what everyone else has already done of their own volition.
Yeah. But you should.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you didn't have to doesn't mean that you shouldn't have when it was the right thing to do. Anyway. Additionally, the building had very few emergency escape routes, leading to further confusion and chaos as people tried to leave the building. As the fire quickly traveled throughout the extensive hotel and casino, many guests, visitors, and staff were injured or became trapped with no way to escape the growing inferno. When all was said and done, over 80 people had perished in the fire.
Oh my gosh.
And over 600 people were injured in the blaze. Most of the building experienced extensive damage. The fire at the MGM Grand is still one of the worst building fires in Nevada's history, and the tragedy at the MGM Grand led to building reform across the U.S. This fire was one example of why sprinkler systems, fire alarms, and emergency exit routes are so important.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I had never heard about this.
No.
And it seems like Vegas is a famous enough place, and this was a bad enough fire. 80 yeah. people died and 600 people got injured?
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that I didn't hear about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's pretty ass baffling to me.
Also, it's pretty amazing considering, I don't know how many lawsuits came out of that, but MGM Grand now in Vegas is still bringing in the bucks. They have huge boxing matches and, like, I'm pretty sure concerts and stuff still there, so they bounced back pretty well considering they killed 80 people.
I thought that was really interesting too. I was like, well, obviously, yeah, I mean, they recovered okay, which is shocking. I know, I agree. Soon after the fire, like, shockingly soon after the fire, construction began to rebuild the hotel and casino. In 1981, just 8 short months after the fire, the MGM Grand reopened.
That is a fast turnaround. 8 months. It's just a fast turnaround in general. Like, I can't imagine any of, like, our local places catching on fire and then bouncing back after 8 months. Mm-hmm. Let alone, like, a massive hotel like that.
Right, I know. It's pretty shocking, especially after something like that happened. Like, I'm like, so... just to make sure, like,
paint and say this never happened. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys like put the fire alarms and the sprinkler system and all that stuff in those 8 months? Because if you didn't, it's time to go back mm-hmm. and rethink your choices. I don't know, but apparently it's fine now. In 1985, the building was purchased and became Bally's. The name MGM migrated along the Strip, and you can still find the MGM Grand on the southern side of the Vegas Strip today. Bally's was rebuilt around the charred bones of the old MGM building, and today people report experiencing strange events in the hotel. One of the most commonly reported experiences is hearing the sound of disembodied crying and heavy coughing throughout different rooms and hallways in the hotel.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yuck.
That would freak me out.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people report smelling... How many people... This is one thing that I wonder, too. Because, like, you hadn't heard about this. I have never been to Vegas, but I still haven't heard about it. And I'm still pretty surprised because, like, that... Like we said, this was a big fire.
Yeah.
And it actually, like... This was a fire that was instrumental in passing, like, actual legislation around, like, emergency exit, you know, policies and stuff like that for buildings. I'm wondering how many people who stay at Bally's today know about the history. Or are they just like, oh, that's interesting.
I have no clue. I don't think it's anything that's ever, like, advertised there.
No, and like, understandably.
This is the site of the Great Fire of 1980.
80. Yep. 80. Yeah, I am.
I've never seen anything like that when walking through, like, the hotel or the casino at Bally's, so I never would have known, and it would have freaked my shit out if I ever stayed there and I just heard disembodied crying.
And coughing.
I mean, in the age of Rona, I probably would have been like, why are you even here to a ghost that probably died in a really terrible fire?
Oh, no. Get out. No.
Get out. Rona.
Yeah. Oh, no. Some people also report smelling acrid smoke on the upper floors of the hotel without any obvious source of the smell. Others report hearing screams coming from the hotel stairwells and believe that these are the ghosts of those who became trapped as they tried to escape the inferno. No one who tried to escape through the stairwells ended up surviving.
Ew. And again, if you don't know the history, you're just hearing screaming in the stairs?
Right.
Yuck.
Yeah, yucko. There are also reports of an old woman at a certain slot machine in the casino portion of the building. When you first look at her, she just seems to be another patron enjoying her time in Vegas. But at second glance, you notice that her dress is on fire.
Ew.
Yeah. That almost... I
try not to look at old ladies in casinos.
Why?
I don't know. Something about it just seems so... sad, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. Also... They be crazy. Oh, okay. They find their slot machine, and they just nobody is allowed to be at your slot machine.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not like I'm encroaching on your territory, ma'am.
I have no idea. Like I said, I'm a party pooper, so I don't know. Lastly, and certainly most horribly, some guests on the 17th floor report the apparition of a young boy crying for his mother before coughing and fading away.
Ew. Ew. Kid ghosts, always creepy. Always.
No.
You will hear that a lot in any paranormal episode that involves a child. Kid ghosts, yuck.
Yeah. No. No. No one likes a kid ghost for a few reasons. Number one, sad. number two, yikes. Scary.
Creepy.
Yeah.
No.
I've heard from different podcasts. I think the first place I heard it was on, and that's why we drink. There's, like, a theory that basically, that kid ghosts don't actually exist. and any quote-unquote ghost masquerading as a child is actually a demon.
I hate that.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe in ghosts, quite frankly. But if I do, I don't know that I believe that that's true. But
I know you and I have had many a discussion about our beliefs in ghosts. I don't know if we ever discussed it on the podcast. I feel like we did. I believe in ghosts.
Right.
So child ghosts are a plausible thing. Icky. If they're not an actual real thing and it is a demon masquerading as a child,
that's
triple icky. I don't know what the third reason is, but triple icky. Yuck.
No. Yeah.
Not me.
It's just a thought. I will say I enjoy a good ghost story, and I usually enjoy learning about the history behind why a place might be haunted. Mm-hmm. That is what I like about it. And honestly, like, I like a good scary movie, so this is just the real life version of it. And I'm open to the possibility of ghosts. I just currently don't really believe in them because I have never witnessed anything paranormal that I'm aware of.
We are the female Shane and Ryan, like.
Yeah, except I'm not an asshole.
Fair. You're not calling out ghosts.
That's true.
Or demons.
No. I have to say, like, I'm not convinced enough that they're not real that I'm going to start, like,
poking
the bear.
Yeah.
The proverbial bear.
The ghost bear.
The ghost bear. We're going to wrap it up at the Westgate Hotel and Casino with Elvis. The Westgate Hotel and Casino, originally known as the International Hotel, opened its doors in 1969 in Winchester, Nevada. The Westgate saw success even in its earliest years, but suffered a tragedy in early 1981. A hotel busboy set fire to a curtain in the east elevator lobby. The fire quickly spread out of control. Ultimately, 350 people were injured, 8 people died, and the hotel suffered over $10 million in damages.
Why can't Nevada/Vegas learn about their fire safety?
I don't know. I hope that it's improved since the 1980s. But yeah, the first one happened in 80, and then this happened in 1981. So
it was so close together. Like, why hasn't it been talked about more?
I don't know. It is interesting. I mean, bad press, probably. A lot of money in Vegas. It'd be really easy to just be like, no, I don't want to talk. We're going to get sued.
I'm sure they did.
This is fact. I haven't said anything wrong.
They're not coming after you.
Yeah. Bugsy? No, I'm just kidding. Well, that would be terrifying. The hotel also had to pay $23 million in damages to the families of the victims of the fire. The busboy, Bruce Klein, was also sentenced to life in prison for arson and murder.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I believe that he was under the influence of illegal substances at the time.
I was going to say cocaine. Don't know why. Just seems like a Vegas drug. Because
it was the 80s. Because it was the 80s.
The 80s in Vegas.
So, yeah. Everybody was doing cocaine in the 80s. If there's just one thing I know, it's not that.
If there's one thing Miami Vice has taught me,
it's that everybody was doing cocaine in the 80s. That is accurate. Yeah. Let's dive into a little Elvis. Just a short 30 days after opening, the hotel welcomed an infamous guest, Elvis Presley.
Infamous?
Infamous. In the overly famous, not the bad way, you know, because English is confusing. Presley performed over 800 different shows at the International between 1969 and 1976. His last performance was in December 1976. And in the summer of 1977, Elvis passed away at the age of only 42. Although he died in Memphis, Tennessee, some believe his ghost can still be seen at the Westgate today. Shortly after his death, Presley's friend and fellow musician, Wayne Newton, was asked to do a show at what was at that point the Las Vegas Hilton. He was hesitant to do a show without Presley, but he and his band decided to put together a tribute medley in Presley's honor. During this tribute, Newton looked up into the balcony area, which was supposed to be closed to all guests, and he spotted a man coming onto the balcony. Newton quickly realized that the man looks like Elvis Presley, who looked him in the eye, smiled, and looked at peace. Newton took this as a sign that Elvis appreciated and approved of the tribute.
Aw.
I know, I actually really like that. Guests at the hotel have reportedly also seen Presley's ghost on the casino floor and in the Tuscany Villa, which is where Elvis's suite was located when he was still alive and performing at the Westgate. So, the last and most memorable story... Wow. The last and most memorable story that I saw concerns a woman and her family who were staying at the hotel. The woman was taking a shower when she saw the silhouette of another person through the shower curtain.
That is a huge fear of mine, first of all. Psycho? Psycho. Anyone?
Yeah. Have you actually seen Psycho?
No. It looks scary.
It's pretty good. I think it's probably not as scary as you might think it is. Especially once you see the actual, like, stabbing scene in there. Because it...
Is it going to make me feel worse or better about constantly checking who's in my bathroom while I'm showering?
Unclear.
Okay.
Is all I will say. I haven't suffered from it.
Oh, I do all the time.
Yeah, see, that's...
All the freaking time.
Yeah. Janet Leigh is the actress who played the girl, the lady who was killed in the shower. And she said, I saw clips from an interview that she had done later in life where she was basically like, I think she said that either she never showered again, like she bathed, yeah. Not that she never... She bathed herself rather than showered herself. But I think what it actually was is that she said that she had to shower, like, with the curtain open. Which sounds like a messy disaster.
Sounds very messy.
Yeah.
Like, that movie and that fear is, like, number one reason I want, like, a glass door shower. So I can see, like... Right outside of that shower, because the curtain thing freaks me out too much. There's definitely been times where, like, the dogs have shuffled in bed, and I'll, like, call out someone's name, like Cooper, or, like, if it's Landon in the room, just to know that there's, like, a human. And then I'm like, if the dogs aren't barking and freaking out, I'm fine. But, and then there's that one scene in The Ring where those creepy hands come out of your head. So just showers are really a weird time for me. Really weird time.
I have a weird time in the shower. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't really change anything for me. Here's the one bad thing about... One bad thing. Well, there are a couple bad things about the glass shower. Number one, pain to clean.
Yes.
Number two, if you are being attempted murdered in your shower, you can't escape through a glass thing. Whereas, like, with the curtain thing, maybe you can, like... Wrap them up in it and, like, escape through all the other points. Side.
All fair points.
You need a clear shower curtain.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's my house. Clear shower curtain will work.
Yeah. I mean, because you're not getting a whole lot more out of a glass door.
It freaks like, my deaky out. And, again, is it a murderer or is it a ghost?
Either way.
Either way.
It's not good. Yeah. Mm-mm. So... So this woman is taking a shower and she sees a person, like the silhouette of a person, on the other side of the shower curtain. She assumed it was just her sister, so she just, you know, kept on showering. But something caught her attention again when the water in the shower suddenly and unexpectedly turned off.
Ew.
She turned around to see what was happening when she saw a hand disappearing to the other side of the curtain as though someone had just reached into the shower to turn off the water. You are like...
I want to cry. That is so disturbing.
I think you are crying actually now. Yeah.
Murderer or ghost? Disembodied hand? Disembodied? It's just a hand? Adam's family.
I think it was like, you know, just like a hand. Yep. Like it gave the illusion of being attached to the rest of a body, but she just saw the hand, you know, turning and then leaving the curtain area.
I hate it. That is by far the creepiest thing that you have told me.
I don't want to ruin it for a future episode, but the thing that freaks me out the most when I hear about ghosts is any time that anything gets, like, crouched over, fuck everybody and their whole lives. I will literally, like, I don't even know what. I've just pooped myself, probably. I gotta run faster. I have to vacate my bowels. That's why you do that. Anyway.
Ew.
So.
And you're telling me that's supposed to be Elvis?
No. I think this is just,
random ghosty?
Yeah, it could be Elvis. She was probably a perv.
But also, if I was a ghost, and I really wanted to freak people out, turning off their water is a little bit more, original than, like, flickering the lights, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Also, very conscientious of water conservation.
Yep.
I appreciate that in a ghost. When she opened the curtain to ask her sister why she'd turned off the water, because if you'll recall, she just figured it was just her sister on the other side, she found the bathroom completely empty. See, at this point, I would be assuming murderer. Mm-hmm. I would be thinking, I'm about to die.
Hello, murderer?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Excuse me, Psycho from Psycho? please put the knife down, and let's talk about this, and get you a little counseling. Later that evening, the woman asked her sister about the incident, but her sister still denied turning the water off. In fact, it would turn out that there was no one in the suite at that time except for the woman in the shower, because her sister had taken the kids to go for, like, a walk around the hotel to, like, get their energy out before going to sleep. The woman and her sister were spooked, but they decided to keep quiet about it since they didn't want to scare the kids. But later that evening, as the kids were being tucked into bed, the woman's son said, "Can ghosts hurt you?" Unsure of how to respond, the woman asked him why he wanted to know, and he said, "Because there's a man in the bathroom, but he just disappeared, and I think he's a ghost."
Why are kids so creepy? This is why I'm like 90% sure. I've talked about it before. The second Landon walks into our room in the middle of the night, I am drop kicking whatever body I see. Because is it my son? Is it a demon? I don't know. But it's creepy.
Oh, yeah. Kids are disturbing. Needless to say, they decided to pack up and stay somewhere else for the rest of the trip, even though the hotel offered to, like, relocate them, give them, like, a discount, stuff like that. They were like, nah, I'm good, thanks.
My kind of people.
Yep.
Just get out of there. This is something that has been bothering me about ghosts.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Why is it that ghosts like Bugsy and apparently Elvis will die somewhere else, but go to a different location to haunt? Like, if I were a ghost, I would probably haunt where I died, and that's it. Why am I going to go through the extra work of apparating in my home?
Apparating? Like Harry Potter. I think, based off of what I've heard from other people who know more about this than I do, which is everybody, ghosts, from what I understand, if they're real, can haunt items. So, like, one of the reasons that Elvis, or I don't remember which one it was.
Bugsy had those faucets, I guess?
Yeah, so one of the reasons that Bugsy haunts a particular suite at the Flamingo is because the, like, gold, bathroom fixtures were moved from his old apartment that he had at the Flamingo into that one. So that's part of the reason that they think he's seen there. The other thing is that I think that ghosts can apparently haunt places that had, like, a big impact. So that could be someplace bad, like a place where they had a lot of negative things happen, or that could be someplace that they, like, want to haunt. So, like, in the case of, like, Elvis and Bugsy Siegel, it would probably be, oh, well, this was a place where we had happy memories and things were going okay for us, and so we choose to haunt this place. So that's why.
I think that would also make sense for the Hoover Dam ghosts. Because, like, if they died of, what was, pneumonia?
Or something.
Like, they probably would have been in the hospital or whatever. But if it was carbon monoxide poisoning and the Hoover Dam was responsible for it, their angry ghost selves would probably be like, this is the place.
Yeah.
This is what caused me to die.
There you go.
So that, okay. Yeah. Why go through that work? But, okay, sure.
Everybody, you know, everybody's got a different thing.
Everyone haunts different.
I cannot personally attest to the motivations of ghosts.
Yeah. Yes, it depends on the circumstances. We'll see where I'm haunting when I'm dead.
There you go. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Through EVP or something.
Yes, exactly. Spirit box.
I'll please. Turn off the water.
Oh, please don't. Thank you. Anyway, I did want to give a few, like, honorable Vegas area mentions. So, one is the Rhyolite Ghost Town, which is a ghost town that had originally sprouted up in 1906 and was dead before the 1920s. It's not, like, right in Vegas, but it's, like, an hour and a half or something drive away. It's known as one of the best ghost towns in the United States. Yeah, it's pretty creepy looking, actually. I looked at pictures of it.
I would prefer the term abandoned town to ghost town because it just feels different. Like, abandoned is like people conscientiously settled somewhere else.
Yeah, decided to.
Versus ghost town, which is like, was that a tragedy? Was it just abandoned and people, ghosties went back? I don't know. There's something different about the connotation in my brain. Because ghost town is a lot scarier and implies a lot more negativity than abandoned. In my brain.
Well, that's fair. Another honorable mention is the corner of Flamingo and Koval. Although at first glance, there doesn't seem to be anything particularly noteworthy at the intersection of Flamingo Boulevard and Koval Lane, this corner is actually the site where Tupac was gunned down at the age of just 25. People who visit the site today sometimes report seeing the ghostly apparition of Tupac in the area before his apparition disappears into thin air. And his murderer was never found.
So much speculation. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Tupac. The last honorable mention is the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. The museum is home to plenty of morbid exhibits, including the Dybbuk Box, serial killer memorabilia, and a haunted mirror once owned by Dracula actor Bela Lugosi. If you don't know what any of that is, no worries. We'll do an episode on some of the items in the Haunted Museum sometime in the future.
Yay.
Yes. So yeah, I definitely intend to cover, like, haunted items at some point in time. So this will be one of those things. Anyway, so that is Haunted Vegas. What'd you think?
Interesting, because like I said before, didn't think Vegas had a lot of, like, haunted things going on. And I for sure never would have guessed the Hoover Dam is, like, a haunted place. I have this, like, rose-colored glass thing going on with the Hoover Dam because of this one movie, Fools Rush In, with Salma Hayek, and it's just, like, this cute place that she tosses a coin over the Hoover Dam for, like, good luck. She makes a wish, whatever. So I just think it's, like, this really, like, whimsical place where you throw coins and make wishes. Not places where people die and haunt.
Or where, it's a harbinger of the end times or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. Not thinking that. Yeah. Any other words of wisdom about Haunted Vegas? Are you gonna look at Vegas differently now when you
definitely
visit?
Definitely. I think we almost always walk through valleys to get to somewhere. I don't actually really remember a whole lot of my time in Vegas.
Why?
Yeah, those are stories for other times. But I feel like Bally's is a hotel that has, like, a body exhibit or something like that. And that's always super interesting to me because I'm like, ooh, creepy. Maybe not paranormal, but, like, creepy. And I think they also have, like, a mob museum. So, like, organized crime, definitely something that I always think about when I go to Vegas, but never haunted stuff, never spooky paranormal stuff.
No, it wasn't something that I thought about either, but then I was, like, when you were in Vegas and I was thinking about it, I was like, they must have some kind of paranormal nonsense happening there. There's enough.
And there was.
Yeah.
And again, going through Bally's, there's, like, that, I think, body exhibit, like, human body exhibit thing. And I always think that's creepy, but apparently that's the site of the Great Fire of 1980.
That's true. It is the site.
I wonder if I'll, like, come in feeling spookier
if I'll manifest some ghosts.
Yeah, you should look for Elvis if you're ever at the Westgate, because I want to see him. Or I want somebody to see him. I don't want to see
him. He's everywhere.
Yeah. I don't want to see him. Yes. They have the real bodies exhibit.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, so that basically wraps up our episode on Haunted Las Vegas. And next week we will be back to true crime. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
If you liked the show, please leave us a great review and don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wicked Within Podcast.